Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's mid-morning show with Omboy Mboro. The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
So we get to a different topic today. What's the topic, Bishop?
I said that the topic is related to something you said yesterday.
I said a lot of things yesterday, Bishop.
Tell us the topic that you spoke on.
That one is easy. That one is very easy. I spoke yesterday on radiating God's glory in the battleground of the mind. The mind.
It was a powerful presentation as I sat and listened to you talking about the mind and the critical place that the mind plays in our lives. Everything we do, how our lives go and all that. And many poignant points that you brought.
Thank you.
left me thinking.
Thank you. I was feeling very intimidated that you were sitting there.
And I was feeling very blessed. It was really, really a great presentation and exposition on the mind. And I left thinking about leadership because somehow my thinking goes that direction. The mind of the leader.
The mind of the leader.
That's what we want to talk about.
This is important. Very important.
Mind of the leader.
Because you just said, Putin seems to have studied the mind of the Western leaders. Psychology.
Has. Yes.
I keep wanting to know what is in his mind. What has given birth to this Putin that we see now?
Exactly. The mind of the leader.
Okay.
In light of what you shared with us, you spoke from
2 Corinthians.
Chapter 10.
Yes, chapter 10, 4 to 5.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What does it say?
Well, basically, it talks about the weapons of our warfare being mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, pulling down and demolishing arguments and pretensions and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and taking captive every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm. And so you talked about your 3 points who are pulling down strongholds.
Yes. I prefer demolishing strongholds.
Demolish was number 2. I was listening keenly.
You were. Definitely.
Pulling down strongholds, demolishing
arguments and pretensions.
And then taking captive every thought.
Yes.
And as I thought about the mind of the leader, just like you said, think of a person like Putin. What is in his mind? What is causing him to do the things that he's doing? First, it must have been born in the mind, in his mind. Mm. And it captivated him so much so that he was willing to mobilize his army to go and invade Ukraine, fully aware that the world will react.
He knew that.
But he must have also taken thought and cognizance of that and calculated what their possible reaction might be. And weighing everything in the balance, he came to the conclusion that it will succeed. And so he moved forward. And it seems like his predictions or projections have borne fruit from where he sits. That's why a few days ago he could speak with such arrogance against the sanctions. So The mind of the leader and its impact on leadership within an organization, within a family, a nation, wherever it is. What kind of impact does that have on leadership? What kind of impact does that have on the organization? What kind of impact does that have on individuals, members of the team?
Mm-hmm.
So I really got thinking about this thing of the mind of the leader. And I thought, could Africa's leadership challenges be of the mind?
Starting from there.
Yes. Could some of the problems we face as leaders in Africa, some of the problems that we face as Africans in our nations, in our organizations, in our churches, you know, be a result of our state of the mind? You know, there's something called the mindset. How your mind has been set.
Needing reset.
Before it is reset, how your mind has been set will determine how you operate, how you conduct leadership, how you guide your people, how you lead your people, how you treat your people. That mindset. And it is so significant that I actually got, I don't know whether excited or afraid by just the issue of the mind of the leader. You may have heard me quote T.E. Lawrence, who said, "All men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the recesses of their minds awake to find that it was all vanity."
Mm-hmm.
Those who dream by night, like you and I may have dreamt something last night, but you don't take it seriously, it doesn't affect your life, because when you wake up, you realize it was just a dream, you know, and you move on with life. But Lawrence says this, and this is where it becomes very serious. He says, "But the dreamers of day are dangerous people, that they may act on their dreams with open eyes to make it possible."
Dangerous.
Dangerous people. And the word there is dangerous. Because what Lawrence is saying is that a person who dreams in the day, it means their minds are alert and they are making use of their minds. When you dream by day, you are looking into the future.
You visualize.
You are visualizing possibilities.
Vision. It's a vision.
It's not, yes, you could say vision. But
dreaming in the day.
Dreaming in the day.
My eyes are open.
With your eyes open. Yes. And he says these are dangerous people. And because these people can make their dreams to come true.
Why does he call them dangerous? Why does he assume that they are dreaming the wrong thing, a dangerous thing?
The dangerous here is positive and negative.
Oh.
Yes, it's both positive and negative. That these are people you don't play around with.
Okay.
While you are thinking, oh, it's just a joke, oh, you, that is impossible, oh, you can't do that, they actually go ahead and make it happen.
Okay, I see. The use of the word. It's like when we call people, you're a dynamite.
Yes. Yeah. So what Lawrence is saying here is that people who dream by day are dangerous. And I want to take it from the positive and negative.
Okay.
The positive is that when people conceive or perceive certain things, and if that person is a leader, that person is dangerous in the sense that if they start acting on those ideas that they have perceived, they could come true.
Mm.
And so if they are perceiving negative things, then you can see now where the dangers of the negative comes in, which you told us yesterday, that the negative thoughts can lead or do lead to negative actions, negative lives, and so on. What really, I don't know how you put it, but it caught my attention. You said that our thoughts are a place where the devil hides, and we defend him.
Yes.
I thought that was so bad.
Yes.
So that when we have negative thoughts, which you said the majority, you know, you gave us these
80%,
statistics.
Yes.
We think negative thoughts.
Yes.
And that's the nest within which the devil dwells.
He feels defended there.
And we defend him.
Yes.
So that if somebody says, no, that's not a good thing, or don't think that way, or don't act that way, we are quick to come and justify, defend. So we actually defend the devil. I felt so bad. I mean,
yes. Yes.
Out of those thoughts. So here is a leader who is thinking negative thoughts. You can see how that person can be dangerous.
Absolutely.
In any place where they find themselves. What makes this person more dangerous than the ordinary person is that leaders are usually at the apex of whatever they lead. Whether you are leading a family, you are at the apex of that family. You are leading a department, you are at the apex of that department. You are leading an organization, you are at the apex of that organization. You're leading a nation, you are at the apex of that nation. So there is very little accountability beyond that. So if you have negative thoughts and negative ideas and negative intentions, you can see how that can be dangerous to whatever it is that you are leading as an individual. Because then there are very few people who can get you out of that. So when you talk about Putin, for example, he's at the apex of his nation.
Yes.
There are very few people who can tell him no, that this is not right.
A few who dare in prison, as we talk.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Or dead. Poisoned. I don't know what. Yeah.
So you can see how dangerous that kind of a person can be to his nation, to his people, to his organization, to his family, wherever we find ourselves as leaders. And so I just thought to myself that this thing of the mind of a leader is absolutely critical in the leadership space. When I talk about Africa, it reminded me one time, long time ago, maybe not too long, but somebody made a statement in a conference that I was attending that really made me angry, you know. And this is what they said, that Africa and Africans, we are so desperately, I don't know the right word to use, let me use the word backward, but he didn't use that word.
Mm.
That if Europe, the people of Europe, were to all be transferred to Africa, and all Africans transferred to Europe, so that we do a swap, you don't carry anything.
Mm.
You live just as you are. But when you get to the other side, you take the same position that you are in right now. So that the president becomes the president.
Ah.
The ministers become the ministers. The chief becomes the chief, you know, if there are such positions. The leader of a corporate organization becomes the leader of a corporate. The bishop becomes a bishop of a church there. So if that kind of a swap was to be done, give them 10 years. Why are you laughing?
Because I can visualize that.
Give them 10 years.
Wow.
And the new Europeans, who are Africans, will be wanting to come to Africa. Because it will be so developed, so advanced, with all the minerals and the resources that are in Africa. The Europeans would have turned Africa into a paradise. And the Africans will have turned Europe into a slum.
Oh.
Within 10 years. You can see why I was so angry.
Me too.
The only good thing is that it was being said by an African. If it was said by another person, I would have caused some
we
war.
To social media.
But when you think about it carefully, you realize that there's some truth to it, because there have been some mini exchanges of the kind. We have seen situations where organizations that were led by Europeans or Americans, Westerners, are handed over to Africans. And within no time, those organizations are run down, are finished. We have seen nations that were left at first world level, at least one that I witnessed with my own eyes, Zimbabwe. When I first went to Harare, I think I've said it here, I could not believe that I was in Africa. The roads, the buildings, the beauty, the cleanliness, everything. I mean, I thought, such nations exist in Africa? I couldn't believe it. Because it was soon after their independence, in the early 80s. I went 10 years later.
Early 90s?
Actually, was it even? Yes, early 90s. And Harare was just like any other African city. Garbage everywhere, potholes, broken down things. I just said, no. This can't happen. These people inherited a country that was first world.
And you didn't go thinking about it. It hit your eyes.
You see it right from the airport.
It hits you.
It hits
whether you are thinking about it or not.
If
you didn't go to compare.
No, I didn't know. I didn't even think about comparing, because my first impression when I went the very first time was of this first world city. I don't know about the rest of Zimbabwe at the time, because I've never gone beyond Harare. So my impression of Zimbabwe is Harare. So I saw this first world city that Nairobi could not match.
Mm-mm.
I mean, in those days, with all our potholes and everything, I mean, I was just so blessed to know that there's a country in Africa
looking
like this.
Uh-huh.
I could not believe it. Now, 10 years later, it was worse than us. There was no fuel. They were queuing for fuel. It was really bad. Garbage everywhere, potholes, broken down things. It was just an African city in a negative way. So this thing that this person said, that if there was a swap, so that the vice-chancellor of Oxford University becomes the vice-chancellor of Nairobi University, and vice versa, and, you know, those kinds of things. So the bishop of a church in Nairobi goes and takes a church in...
That one will grow. That one will grow.
In which way?
I think
we need to qualify the ways of growth.
Yes, we will grow spiritually.
Because the growth, I am afraid to say, I've been a bishop myself. The growth of many of our churches in Africa are purely as a result of the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
I think it will still go with that. It will still go with that.
So the congregations will be full, but what about the buildings?
No.
What about the bank accounts?
Yeah.
What about the financial accountabilities?
Mm.
The things that depend on our leadership capacities.
Yes. Okay.
You see what you're talking about?
That I do.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
So I'm talking about things that depend on our leadership capacities. So as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, so where is the problem? And I after listening to you yesterday, I came to the conclusion it's a mind issue. It's a mind issue. It's how we think, it's how we perceive, it's how we conceive leadership and issues of leadership that really results in what we are talking about. The Bible says, which you quoted, as a man thinketh, so is he. And when we think low level, when we think mediocrity, when we think impossibilities, that is what we reap in return. Because it is conceived in our minds and it is born in our actions. I was thinking to myself, if we were to get to tap the minds of our aspirants who are now running for various offices, from MCAs to women rep to...
Just get to know what's in
get
their
to know
head.
What is going on in the mind of this person.
That would be so nice.
In as far as their leadership is concerned, if we were to tap into their minds and say, see how they are thinking about their ward as an MCA, what are they perceiving? What are they seeing? That should I get this position, should I be a successful in the elections and I'm given this ward, what is that person thinking about the ward? If they are thinking anything.
Yes. I think it's an assumption they are thinking.
Yes. What are they thinking? What is the governor candidate thinking about their county? If we were to tap and just get what this person is thinking. Because the result of that thinking is what will determine how far that county goes in as far as governance is concerned. We have 47 counties with 47 governors. And every so often we are given an evaluation, an assessment of how each county is doing. I'm afraid to say that the majority of them not doing well. Two or three, perhaps, doing something. The rest, not doing well. The number of counties that return money to treasury because they were not able to utilize it is amazing, including my own county. That you are given money which you have to spend within this period of time of 1 year, and when the year ended, you did not even think of how to use this money that you have been given. You have to return it to treasury. While your people are languishing in poverty and under development and so on. It means that what is this person thinking? And the little money that is used, quite a bit of it goes to people's pockets. So could there be candidates, even now from presidential to ward level, who are just thinking, if I get this thing, my children now will be going to this kind of school.
It's really personal.
It's all personal. By the time I finish, at least I should have this kind of billions in my account.
Bas, It had all the time nothing to do with the voter.
With the voter and the country or the county,
yes,
or the ward. Very little. So what if there was what Paul calls a transformation of the mind? What would happen? What would happen to organizations if the leader got into a position of leadership, whether it is a department or the whole organization, you're the CEO, and you come in with this one mindset.
Mm.
I want to make this organization the best that it can ever be.
Mm.
What are the possibilities? And you told us that when people think that way, and our senior pastor, deputy senior pastor, confirmed.
With her testimonies.
With her testimonies, mm, which were very hilarious and challenging.
Yes, they
you know,
were.
That when people think positively and when people think possibilities, God has a way of honoring those thoughts, especially when they are founded on Him. What if people, we who are leaders at various sectors, we had that transformed mind, which Paul talks about in Romans chapter 12, so that we start thinking positively about Kenya, thinking positively about our county, thinking positively about our constituency, thinking positively about our ward. I'm talking politics because we're in that season.
Mm, yeah.
But we can say the same about our organizations. We can say the same about our churches. We can say the same about our families. We can say the same about anything that we lead, our businesses. What if we began to think differently? What could happen? Because if you look at, again, we are not worshiping the Western world, but we could use them as benchmark. These people think while we are asleep. And they don't stop thinking. It's what we call creativity and innovation. That is thinking. In fact, we call it learning. When you have a learning attitude, then you don't stop thinking. You're never satisfied with the current situation. I think some of us may have heard me speak, and I said, just take the phone, for example. The phone, which I think almost every Kenyan now has, even children. Somebody creates a phone and sells it to us. Beautiful, great facilities, great functionalities, can do wonders. If it was ordinary people like us, we would be happy that we have found it and it is working. There are others people, once they put that phone in your hands, they go back to think.
How to make it better.
How to make it better.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Within 2-3 years, they are telling you what we gave you, if you thought it was good, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Look at this.
Look at this. What it can do. How your camera can do this. How your phone can now do this. And so on and so forth. And so now your phone that you thought was so good is obsolete. You know, it's like, it's not good.
Mm.
Because somebody has been thinking.
Some more.
That is the mind of the leader.
Mm.
That should be the mind of the leader. So that even as a church, you don't arrive at a liturgy. So we predict, you know, like my mother used to tell us when we were young, by now they have said a year, you know, I believe in God.
The creed.
The
Apostles' Creed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that if
by now
if you enter the church at this time, it is now saying the creed. If you enter at this time, you are saying the Lord's Prayer. If you enter this time, we are singing this song. Because it is all predictable. The church of the 21st century must move beyond that. We must think of where is the world going? How do we reach the new person? How do we reach the new generation? How do we organize our services? How, you know, just even within the church, so that we are never satisfied that we have found it. This one thing that worked
yesterday
is now we are stuck there and we are singing the same songs in the same way, organized in the same way. It will not work. I heard in the 11 o'clock church news of this church that was selling its property in the U.S. Was it Iowa or wherever? You are reading in the news, Hope FM, this morning.
The Beacon.
Mm. Because there were 40 members a few months ago. I can't remember what they said, but the last time they met recently, there were 15. So they are now selling church artifacts and facilities and everything because this thing is not viable. If we are not careful as leaders, this is what is going to happen to us in our organizations, in our churches, in our nations. We are going to be overtaken. So we must begin to think and transform our thinking. Whichever business you are, even if you are running a kiosk, be better than you were yesterday. Think of how do I improve my kiosk? Mm, mm. How do I make it better than my neighbors? How do I serve my customers differently?
Mm.
Because if we can't think, then we will be overtaken by events. We have quoted Henry Ford in this place, who said, "I am looking for a lot of men with an infinite capacity for not knowing what can't be done." We do know that Ford car is still on the road.
Yes.
They were almost thrown out of business by the Japanese when they thought they had arrived. And they had to pull up their socks and get back. The Land Rover, you would know that they were literally thrown out of business by the Japanese with the Pajeros and the Land
and
Cruisers,
the Prados,
the Prados, and so on. But they must have got a leader who said, "We are turning this thing around."
Mm.
Right now, the Land Rover and the Range Rover are the top in the SUV vehicle market because somebody turned the thing around and they have given the Japanese a run for their money. So leadership and thought to me is something that is so very critical. The mind of a leader. What is it thinking? What is it perceiving? What is it conceiving?
You can't just let it
be there for.
Be there. I hear you.
You hear me. So that's what I thought we should talk about.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.